It was a good fellowship, good visiting. Where I live is a large Mennonite community, and whenever someone comes, you know, someone from the area or another person from a Mennonite background, Low German background, come to town, they play what's called the Mennonite game, and it's basically asking, how are we related? Whose cousin are you? And that's what starts happening. But I was blessed. Brother Richard there has a good pastor up north. I know him, so I guess we have our own version of that. Just knowing who's connected to who, which churches go. As we said, Brother Vall said earlier, we know him and his family for years. And so it's kind of very special the way the Lord puts people together. And we may not be Mennonites, but that's okay. God can use us anyway, and we can see how God's working around our country and through different people. And that's encouraging for me too. I like reading missionary biographies. I encourage you guys to do that too. The Bible can encourage us, but when we see and we can give testimony and we can see what God's done in the lives of others, that does my heart good, and it'll do your heart good as well when you see how God's worked in the lives of others. I got my 3x5 card out. I'm going to talk about a topic that's probably one of the most uncomfortable topics for, I guess, preachers or pastors to talk about. The Bible talks about grace, and I'm so encouraged of what God gives me. One definition of grace is, and in Christian circles we need to be mindful, different groups of people have different interpretations for the same word. Well, I appreciate Bible grace. One definition of grace is just divine help. And I'm grateful that I have a God that I can turn to, and he helps me, and he's good to me, and he loves me. And in the Bible, it tells me that grace is something in my life that can grow. The grace that I have in Christ can grow in my life. If I'm faithful to God, I'm going to grow more and more. I'm going to be more and more conformed into his image. And I'm going to grow more and more like Christ. And I'm excited about that. I don't have any regrets for anything. I have regrets in my life, but I don't have any regrets for anything I've done for the Lord. I have one trouble. Word I have trouble with is a word called sacrifice. I can read it in the Bible, and the Bible talks about sacrifice, but this is why I have trouble with it. God doesn't owe anyone anything, and anything God asks you to give him, he'll give you back with interest. I guarantee you. So that's a topic in my life. God won't owe anyone anything. I've heard one good preacher say, God will be no man's debtor, and that's true. And when I mean that it's an uncomfortable topic, I want to talk about the grace of giving. And I've just felt led to talk about that. That may seem self-serving because I'm a missionary. And I'm sure that pastors feel uncomfortable talking about the grace of giving in our lives. But I want to talk about it because God's done a bit of a work in my life. And I just want to share it with you because God's good. And we sung this morning, Channels Only. And God doesn't want us to be reservoirs. He wants us to be channels. He wants us to take in the good things he gives us so that we can give them elsewhere. The Bible talks a little bit about stewardship. And some people wonder, what is a steward? It would be similar to our word today of a manager. It's somebody who's given something to look after to do a good job with, whether that's employees, whether that's materials, whether that's merchandise. So our job as Christians is to take these things that we're borrowed for a while and do right with them. That's even with our families. I lead a teenage girl and a teenage boy and a wife, but in heaven, they're going to be my brothers and sisters. So for right now, there's an order, but after everything's said and done, they're going to be standing right beside me. So I need to be mindful of how I treat them. There's an order, and God respects it, and they should respect it as well. But we need to be mindful that when we as men particularly make decisions, it's the best thing for them, because God will hold us accountable for how we treat them. And he'll hold us accountable for what he gives us as well. When God wanted to bless a nation, in the Bible, he chose Abraham and said that the rest of the world would be blessed through him. When in Ezekiel, God was looking for a man to stand in the gap. That was for the sake of other people. In 1 Kings 17, he used a widow lady to meet the needs of a prophet. In the New Testament, he used a godly young virgin to be the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ incarnate. He used a boy who had loaves and fishes to feed a multitude. We're laborers with God. We're Christians together in the harvest. And I want you to pay attention to those situations. God didn't use rich and big and famous people there. He used humble people. That's the way God seems to do it. I'll give you an illustration in my life. I lived in Fort McMurray, and my employer treated me very well. God led me there, and I was obedient to God, and I had a good job, and God led me to it, and I wasn't in sin for having it. And that was God's will for my life for the time. And there came a time when I had to leave that because God was specifically showing me, I'd like you to go to Bible college. And having a family and being settled down, that sometimes has some complicating factors. You guys who have families and understand moving and stability and all those things, it's not easy to move and pull up your, you know, what roots we had there. And yet God called me to do that, and there are some people I knew that thought that was foolish. And to do that and go to Bible college, mostly for economic reasons. But you know, God's good, and God led me there, and God took care of me. My income in Fort Mac was not in the same league at all of what it became in Winkler. And you know what? That's okay. And God was there with me that time. And I can't call it a sacrifice because I look back at what God did for me in Little Winkler. In 2008, when the rest of Canada was going through a depression and a recession, the folks in Winkler didn't even know anything was going on. I mean, that it's a slow place economically. So those folks there, that's what I went to from Fort Mac to there. So it was a different culture entirely in more ways than one. And you know what? God met my needs, and we've never gone without. A phrase that goes around nowadays is quality of life. I've had a blessed life. I have no regrets. God's good to me, and I think he's exceedingly good. I'm excited for what I've been able to do as a Christian. I've been able to go to South America twice. And the last time was in Winkler. I was able to collect points to do it. I've been able to go to some pretty special churches and visit with some pretty special people. And I just count it such a blessing. And so I don't think that's a sacrifice at all on my part. That's just me obeying God and God showing me and giving me his blessings that I can't understand. If you were to look at maybe T4s at the end of the year for me, they may not look very good. On paper, but I tell you, I haven't missed a thing. I bet you can ask anyone in my family. We haven't missed a thing. God's good to us. I just want to encourage you that God's good to you too. We had a family in our church who was going through tough times, and we didn't have much, and God was working in my heart to give to them, quietly, to myself. And there's people in my church that I knew that had a lot of money. And God was just impressing me in my mind that there's someone in our church I needed help. And I one day shared it with my wife, and she said, yeah, God's been bothering me too. And I said to her, why on earth doesn't God bother some of these rich folks? And she very wisely said, maybe he already has, and they're not listening. And so we help them. And I don't say that in any way to brag, because I certainly am. I've got a lot to learn about giving. But God meets our needs, and God wants to use you. I don't think there's anything. I don't think God can have. I don't think there's such thing as a spirit-filled, stingy Christian. I think a Christian ought to be a generous person. I think a Christian ought to be able to sacrifice. The last few people that I've led to the Lord in Winkler, I've led to the Lord at a coffee shop, and I bought them coffee. Now, I've had coffee too, and I enjoy coffee. But, you know, it's okay if it costs you something to invest in someone else. If it costs you something to lead someone to the Lord. If it costs you something to just encourage someone and come alongside someone, that's okay, and God's all right with that. That's God's spirit. I know for a fact my Lord isn't stingy. He's good to me. And so he doesn't want his children to be stingy either. So we live missions. We live in a world with an incredibly great need. There's over 7 billion people in the world. And with respect to missions, it's not a cheap thing to do missions. If people have to go around the world, there's expenses there. But you know what? I know God's in it. There's a cost to doing what's being done here. Some people could say, well, you know, maybe you could send out. God needs churches. God needs his workers. Today, in the day and age we're living in now, God is using the church. You know, if you made a committee of people, they would come up with a whole bunch of better ways, I'm sure. But God's way, I'm being facetious, God's way is to use the church. And one of the things God is doing is sending out, gifting people and sending people out throughout the world and throughout this country to do his work. So with 7 billion people, it would take several and all sorts of people to reach them. You guys can reach people that I'm never going to meet. Your pastor can reach people you're never going to meet, and vice versa. So we are all involved together. I'll go through the Great Commission is mentioned 5 times in the Bible in different verses, but I'll look at it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. I emphasize the "and" there, because the "and" is important. I believe every word of this Bible is important. I don't think there's anything in there by accident. Every word is for us. It's not then. It's not a situation where sooner or later we'll reach out to other parts of our community. It's something that happens concurrently. So as you are trying to reach Kamloops, as I'm back in Winkler trying to reach my community there, as I eventually get to Uruguay, I have to keep in mind the uttermost parts of the earth. To the people in Uruguay, they're not the uttermost parts of the earth. There's other places they need to reach. Here in Kamloops and Winkler, God's plan is global, and it always has been. God wants the whole world saved. That's what he said. And so our job as believers is not only to reach our community, which is important, but just as important, and that's why the word is and not then, is our responsibility globally. And I'm saying that knowing you're a missions-giving church. So this is not a reprimand. I'm saying this because I didn't know this growing up in church, and somebody has shared this with me, and it's helped me. So God has a plan in missionary giving, and God has a plan in reaching the world. And that grace can grow in our lives, and we can give glory to God of how he works. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'm going to read 8 and 9. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. insomuch that as we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For he indeed accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us by this grace, with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, that they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting of you on your behalf. Chapter 9, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast to you of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we say not ye, should be ashamed in this confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready, as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer unto you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I wanted to read those because those are some of the key or text passages about giving in the New Testament. And they teach us about what grace giving is, or the grace of giving. We all know that the Bible talks about the tithe. You don't need to turn here, but God expects us all to give our church a tithe. Wherever you go to church, wherever you're a member of a church, this is God's will for everyone, you ought to give a tithe there. And you don't need to turn here. Malachi 3:8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." God expects his tithe in the church house. He has always expected believers to give to him at the house of God, and he still does. So God expects that. He also expects offerings, or asks for offerings. Now, an offering is something you give because you want to give. You see a need, you see an opportunity. It may be a special project that's given. It shows really how liberal we are. If we tithe, all we're doing is obeying the Lord. But if we want to be liberal to the Lord, we may give something special to a special need. And then there's what I believe the Bible calls grace giving. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3, we see it says, beyond their power. So there's something supernatural that God does in allowing humble people to give, simple people to give. Now, God, you know, there's obviously some rich people in the world who love the Lord, but oftentimes God uses the simple things of this world. The Bible tells us that God uses the foolishness of preaching. God decides to use some pretty humble people. I thank the Lord for that. I really do. God's good to me. As you can tell, my vernacular may not be the best. I studied English in college, and I'm doing the best I can. But God will use people exactly where they're at. And God wants to use each and every one of us. And what little we have, he can make it much. And I know he can. I've seen God use... let me just say God's good. God can use simple people. And I praise the Lord for that. So in order for there to be a gospel around the world, there needs to be a strong local church. Our first responsibility is the church, financially as well. And practically how that happens is through your giving. This church is supporting through your tithe. It's not bake sales or raffles or things like that. People give and support the church they're in. And you are... I can speak from my experience, you are blessed because you give your tithe. So giving a tithe is nothing special. In Luke chapter 17, verse 10, God talks about the unprofitable steward. Giving your tithe is just something you're supposed to do. And you get back anyway. We had a good potluck today. We had a good fellowship today. You come to this good place today. So when you give your tithe, praise the Lord. We live in a day and age where everybody needs a pat on the back and everybody gets a trophy. But giving our tithe is just what we're supposed to do. Praise the Lord when you do right, but that's just basically what we as Christians need to do. We're not doing anything special by tithing. That's our responsibility. And the beauty of it is you tithe, but then you enjoy the benefits of your tithe. So you give, but you get back. So tithing is... God's plan is the local church, and praise the Lord for local churches and people in them who believe in the church and keep it supported. So basically, your church, your pastor is supported by yourself. I'm not sure if you receive support from anywhere else, but you support this church, and that's exactly what you need to be doing. And that's exactly what I need to be doing as well. We all have a responsibility to the church. So that church always needs to be strong for there to be a gospel to go out, and that church always needs to exist for missions to exist. Philippians 4:19, you don't need to turn there, says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We know also Luke chapter 6, verse 38 tells us, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." Do you see that? The measure which ye meet. You see the order? The order is you give, and God gives back. Some people have told different pastors over the years, "When I win the lottery, I'm going to give you guys a lot of money." And maybe, Brother Vall, you've heard that. I know several pastors who've heard that from people. "One day, when I hit it big, I'm going to really help this church out." And I'm sure there's a lot of pastors who've never seen that, those people hit it big and help them. But that's not the order anyway. The order is we give and God gives to us. We give and God gives to us. And that's why our life is a life of faith. And that's Bible that I'm giving you there. Luke chapter 6. We give and God gives to us. And that's the way it is. And that's why giving is sometimes something we wrestle with, because we can't see what... If you go to a place like New York City and ask for change, you know, I've heard of people who've gone there, and it's like, you know, people want to make sure they don't get robbed in the middle of, asking for change on the street, right? Well, that's not how we operate with God. We can trust him, right? So if we give to God, he gives back. And that's what Luke chapter 6, verse 38 is. We give, and God gives back to us and meets our needs. And as I said earlier, he gives us the desires of our heart. And so we get our hearts right, and he meets our needs. I can give you testimony, as I did earlier. God's good. He's exceedingly good. If you were to look at my T4 in the years I was in Winkler versus the years before I was in Winkler, it would look somewhat depressing. But I can tell you by testimony, nobody in my family has gone without, and I'm grateful for what God's done in our lives. And so we need to be able to trust God that he meets our needs aside from some of the advice we get from the world. So we all have a responsibility. The Great Commission is not your pastor's job. It's not some missionary's job. It's our job individually. So we all need to be involved. We're all to pray for our pastor. We're all to pray for world missions. We're all to go as well. Some are to go, but all are to give. So the Great Commission was very important to the Lord Jesus Christ. You probably know Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15, Luke 24, 47, and John 20, 21 are the other passages. God is for us going and reaching this world for him. So missionaries need churches to send them to the field and sustain them there, and churches need missionaries to be their witness where they can't be. You guys, as I said earlier, many of you will be places where Brother Vall can't be, and Brother Vall will be in places where you can't be. As a church, you work together, and a missionary is really an extension of your ministry. It's just something that's being done where you can't reach, and he's that missionary is doing something special in and out of your church. So the Macedonian church is our example in that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. They were one of the poorest churches in the New Testament, and they were example to some of the richest churches of what could be done for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's two great paradoxes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The first one of them is that they had a great trial of affliction. And we spoke this a little bit this morning about going through tough times. Financial reversals can be tough times. These people gave out of their poverty, and yet the Bible tells us that they had joy. At the same time as their poverty abounded, they gave richly. So those things don't make sense to a carnal mind, but God does that, and he can do that. I really don't understand how we did while we were in Winkler. I mean, God's good to me. That's all I can say to you. I haven't missed a thing. It says they gave beyond their ability. So they gave in a way that the world would say, man, that's got to hurt. But they gave beyond what people could understand that a poor church could give. And they did that. And in verse 3 as well, they were willing to let God use them. And that's what God wants from any one of us, just to yield and to say, God, what would you want from me? And be prepared to let God work in our lives. So grace is something that grows in our lives. 2 Peter, you don't need to turn there, you can just listen or jot it down. 3 verse 18 tells us that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the Bible speaks both about law and speaks about grace. Now, law was written on the tables of stone. It was in front of our eyes. It says, don't do this and do that, and don't do this and do that. And the law is not inside of us. Now, the old nature is, and the rebel nature in ours resists what's written in the law. Now, grace is internal, and it works from God within us, and it works on the heart, not on tables of stone, and it's written there by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells me in John, and it came through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells me in John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth was given by Jesus Christ. So grace was made available only through Christ's death on the cross. So that's what gives us the ability to live the Christian life we can have, the abundant life. For you knew through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So we have a lot because God's a giver. And if we look at Jesus, he wasn't born to rich parents. He didn't have all the opportunities we can say that the world offers. And yet because of his giving, we have a lot. And you know what? Through your giving, you can really help someone when they need it. I know I've been able to see when people have given and seen other people receive that it's been given at the right time. God often provokes people at just the right time. He uses people. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, why would you do that? And God has chosen to use the church and bless believers with other believers in real humble means. Another definition of grace from one commentary is, grace is God doing something for me or through me that I do not have the ability of doing myself. Grace is God doing something for me or through me that I do not have the ability to do myself. That's grace. Anything I can do in my flesh, anything I can do in my own power is not grace. Grace is God wanting to do something greater in me. So grace is manifested and is in exchange oftentimes. Jesus is rich, he became poor. That we through his grace being poor may become rich. We got a good deal there. Jesus fulfilled the poverty curse of the broken law, that through grace we may receive wealth from heaven. And God's grace is through Jesus Christ. So grace giving is God's way of financing missions and the Great Commission throughout the local church and the world. It's also, I'll say this, grace giving is also a way to overcome poverty. Now pay attention, I'm not getting Pentecostal on you here. Some people believe that being poor is spiritual. Some people think that if I'm poor, I'm spiritual. Well, sometimes we can be poor because we're disobedient. It's not an evidence of spirituality. It may mean, as it says in Malachi, it may mean you're cheating God and robbing God. And that's why the people of Israel had pockets with holes in them and their harvest wouldn't come in. That may be a reason someone's poor. So just because we're poor or someone's poor doesn't mean that we're spiritual. So a cure to poverty can be grace-giving because God honors cheerful giving. I've heard some call it hilarious giving. God is for us being cheerful when we give. So if a man is right with God and gives by faith, God will not only meet his need, but he'll meet his desires. Now Satan, I'll give you this from personal experience too, Satan wants to bind you in your finances. God talked a lot about finances in the Bible. Jesus did. And the reason is, if you tie yourself down financially to something and get into some bondage with debt, it'll really limit you what you can do for the Lord. Take it from me. I came from Fort McMurray, and people like their toys up there. And there's a lot of people that I've seen that really are tied down by the things that surround them. We as Christians can do the same thing and get into a bunch of debt for things. I'm not preaching against mortgages or anything like that, but we need to be wise about what we invest in and what we want to be good stewards of. So, you know, sometimes people will get into debt getting all kinds of toys and things, and it'll really limit what you can do. And God may have something for you, and our job is to be prepared and be ready to serve God, and the devil would be happy if we just follow if we get the latest and greatest thing all the time and just end up in debt, we won't be able to serve God. I told you, Luke chapter 6, 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. It says, therefore, with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So we need to be mindful. We need to give, and God gives back to us. So we have an abounding grace of giving. In verse 7 there, it talks about a great grace of giving abounding. Now, in those two chapters we read, grace is used 7 times. And in each of those times, it's referring to grace giving. In each of those times grace is used, it's referring to giving. So God is for the Christian being generous. It talks about it being a witness to others. Our generosity can be a witness to others in verse 1. It is something that we can experience and share, and it supplies our needs. Now, what verse 11 of chapter 8 talks about is performing the doing of it. So Some churches will have commitments or something like that about giving. That's something that everybody needs to work out with their Lord, what they would give. And as they do that, they should fulfill the doing of it. In verse 11, now perform the doing of it, that is, there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to the man hath, and not according that he hath not. So other churches were being an encouragement to this church to give. And God can use you to encourage others. It's not something mystical in giving, but as our faith grows, so can our giving grows. I believe this, that a missionary should be prepared to live however God puts the life in front of him, economically good or bad. Let me read 2 Corinthians 10, verse 14 through 16. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labor, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. There it was used to preach the gospel, and as our faith grows, so can our God's grace in our lives. Now God talks about sowing and reaping. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6, God is also talking about our giving as sowing and reaping. There are things that we can give, and they'll reap a seed. I've supported missionaries before, and I trust I know they're going out to regions I can't go to spread the gospel. So I know that seed in my life can be testifying to someone else about the Lord, but through my giving, I can also reach people that I'll never meet. I'm so grateful. We talked a little bit today about the New Jerusalem. I'm so grateful for one day there being a day up in heaven when all things are going to be reckoned. It'll be a terrible day in some extent, but I don't know the man who led my grandfather to the Lord. I don't know who he is, but I surely look forward to meeting him one day. And my dad is saved. My grandfather's saved. My grandfather was not a saved man when he ended up in South America, and he accepted the Lord there. So that man, I'm nothing by any means to brag about, but that man has fruit to his account because of my grandfather's son and his grandson and my siblings. So I just think it's wonderful. We tease a little bit about the Mennonite game and the Baptist game and how people are connected. I think it's going to be a wonderful day seeing all that God did through different people. And so the little things that, I don't know how that man got there into South America and why he was a preacher there, but I look forward to the day, one day, when I'll be able to see, well, that's what that missionary was doing. That's what that person's giving did. And so it's an opportunity for us to give our expression of love through giving as well. I just want to finish saying, God seems to use the poor and humble in God's work. That's just the way it is. He could use rich people, he could use big organizations, but he uses local churches, and God honors that. I know many of you know Preacher Rice. His wife was at a conference years and years ago when she was alive, and the Independent Baptist movement started because some people wanted to do right, and they met in storefronts, and they went soul winning, and it was a very humble movement in its beginnings in the States, and for many churches. And there was a big conference. They were in this church with thousands of people, and she said something interesting to one of the preachers there. She said, "I think we've lost something. It was different when we were smaller. We had more of a concern." So I think that we just need to be ground roots people. We need to be honest and sincere people and know that God is using churches throughout Canada, throughout North America, throughout the world to reach others. And that's his plan. and not get too heady and high-minded, but just walk with God, be sensitive to God, and trust God, knowing that as we grow in grace and as we grow in giving, He'll meet our needs, and He'll meet our needs abundantly. Brother Vall, would you like to close in prayer, or should I? Lord, preaching on grace today, and I thank you so much for the grace you've shown me through these good people. Thank you for bringing us here to this place. We owe you a lot, Lord. That's an understatement. You're so good to us. You saved us when we were worthless. And Lord, if we're worth anything today, it's only because of your Son. And so I just thank you so much for that. And I pray, Lord, that we'd really search our hearts now in a special way as we look to your great sacrifice on the cross many years ago. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.